Hello and welcome to Central's podcast. We pray your heart is touched through listening and that it helps you in your walk with Jesus. Today's message is from Pastor Kurt.
All right, well, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. You get to have it all, right? It's great to see each one of you. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, as followers of Jesus, we recognize Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday as the core moment that makes Christianity different than all other religions, because we know we serve a risen God who is alive and well and powerful and personal in each one of our lives. That's what I love about Easter Sunday that we celebrate, is we're not just looking back at a historical moment. We're not just looking back at something in the past. We know that we can grab hold of a personal relationship with Jesus. He still wants to be close with us. We're not just looking back. We're not just looking forward. We can look at the right now and know that he wants a personal relationship with us. So what I want to do today is focus on those moments that follow the resurrection of Jesus. If you call Central your home, then you know that we're going through the Gospel of John throughout this year from February through November. We're finishing up chapter 4, and we pause so we can get all the way to the resurrection for this morning. So we're going to look at John chapter 20 today. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I want to look at a few passages throughout this chapter, and specifically three different appearances that Jesus made to various people after his resurrection. Now, statistics will say that when you're in a public speaking forum like this, that you'll remember about 20% or less of anything that is said. So if you forget everything else, I would love for you to remember this one point here. It's this: Jesus desires to make a personal appearance in your life as you invite him into your heart. You might not see him with your own physical eyes, but he wants to make a personal appearance. He wants to be in personal relationship with you as you invite him in. And that doesn't just mean for the first time. You could have been following Jesus for decades upon decades, and he still wants you to invite him closer into your heart as he appears in the depths of your soul and your spirit to minister to you. Now, John wrote the Gospel of John, and John had a personal experience with Jesus. So he's not just writing from a third-hand account. He's not just writing from rumors or anything else. He was actually there. He speaks in third person, actually, when he's writing this portion of the book. So I want you to understand, as he's writing, this is something very, very personal to him that he experienced himself. And I want to start right at verse 1 here. It says, early on the first day of the week, it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So what was customary at that time where Jewish people would go to the tombs of their loved ones for 3 days following after they were buried? And what they would do, they'd bring spices and so on, and they would go for 3 days because they believed back then that the spirit of the person hovered over their body for 3 days. And by the fourth day, the body wasn't recognizable, so the spirit left. Well, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the disciples, they would have been there the day before, but in Jewish culture, it was called a Sabbath. It was a day of rest, so they were unable to make that travel, or they would have been breaking Jewish law. So Mary shows up. It's just early in the morning. It's still dark. She notices that the stone has been removed. She starts to freak out a little bit. And so it says in verse 2, she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved. Now, I want you to understand something here. John's talking about himself in this passage, and I love this. If John had this side commentary, it would be like, hey, folks, let's get this straight. Jesus loves everybody, all right? Jesus loves everyone. But the one Jesus really loved, well, it happens to be me, and I'm writing this book. I just love like what he was thinking when he was doing this. But I think it really exudes the relationship that John had with Jesus to know Jesus really, really loved me. So he says, Mary's coming back to Peter and John, who he's writing about himself. And Mary says this: they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple, talking about John, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, like in all of the information that John writes in his gospel, like all of us, all these details laid out, he's trying to prove one thing. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And like at all of the other momentous occasions, this is the one. Like this is the time where John would write all about Jesus, focus on the tomb. And John's like, wait a minute. Peter got to walk on water. Peter's going to preach at the day of Pentecost. Peter's going to see healings when his shadow's cast. But I want all of my readers to know I'm faster. I won the race. I got to the tomb first. I'm like, literally, I'm rereading this week. I'm like, Lord, why did John put this in there? And I actually don't think he told me why he put it in there, other than he wanted everybody to know that he was faster. But I do want this to be a reminder for those of you here today is that you can still find Jesus even if you didn't arrive there first in your life. I want you to know that. You know, maybe your life took a path that you never thought it was going to take. And you're like, why am I all the way over here? Peter and John would be all the way over here finding Jesus. Maybe you've made choices in your life that has taken you down a different road for years and years and years, and you've chosen that, but something's been changing recently, and maybe you're sensing that this higher power that we know to be the true God, Jehovah, has been speaking to you. I'm telling you, it's not too late. The moment you popped your eyes open and you had breath in your lungs, you know Jesus is giving you yet another chance to get right with God, to receive forgiveness for your sins. I'm telling you, it's not too late. Can you say amen? Amen. So we know John beats Peter there. Verse 5, he bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. So John, like, he's like, listen, I want to let everybody know I am faster. I won the race. But John also puts that he didn't go in. Again, we're not exactly sure why. We just know that he stopped at the door and he looked in and he tried to get a glance, but he didn't believe yet because he did not walk in to get close enough. And I feel like that's how this happens sometimes with individuals who will come to a church service, or maybe you're talking to somebody who is a Christian and you look in just enough to say, like, what are these people doing? Why are they raising their hands? Why are some people jumping up and down? And why are they fast songs and slow songs? What's happening during the message? And I feel like sometimes, you know, people peek in just enough to see, but don't actually take that step in to know Jesus face to face and personally. And again, I believe that invitation is here for you today. So verse 6 says, Simon Peter, he comes along behind John. He goes straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. I'm not going to get into those details today, but in verse 8, it says, finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, let's not forget that, also went inside. Once John goes inside, it says he saw and believed. John did not see Jesus eye to eye yet. He didn't actually see the physical resurrected Jesus, but he saw the proof that Jesus wasn't there. What I love about this is this. We today aren't going to see Jesus unless he shows up in a vision face to face in his physical self. But we have proof, a book that has never been refuted or debunked or defeated. We have proof that Jesus is alive. And we could see it in his word. We can hear it through the preaching of the word. We could see the words that believers are singing and say, I see and I want to believe. I want to believe. And he wants to make that personal appearance in each one of our lives. We just have to invite him into our heart. What I like about this is John admits that he believed. He went in, he got close enough, and he believes. But he goes on in verse 9 to explain to the readers that Peter and John, they still didn't understand from Scripture, which would have been the Old Testament at that time. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So they didn't understand fully. And I believe some people are in that situation, like, I just have to grasp this thing all the way in my head. And that's not what faith is. Faith is believing in something before you can actually see it with your bare eyes. It's a heart issue, not a head issue. And if John, who spent 3.5 years with Jesus, could say, you know what, I wasn't sure, but once I got close enough, once I saw, and then I believed, I know that the Lord can use the preaching of the word in the written word itself so you could see and believe. So let's get into the first appearance where Jesus actually shows up. It happens with Mary Magdalene. She's outside the tomb and she's crying. Angels show up and they begin to ask her why she's so upset. And she tells someone that, you know, Jesus took the body. She does not know where it is. We're going to pick up in John chapter 20, verse 14. It says, at this time, she turns around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? And that word woman, it could come across aggressive in this language. It was an endearing term back then. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? I love this. Like, he knows exactly why she's here. He starts to engage in this conversation with her. Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. So Jesus knows, okay, this conversation's going a different direction than I intended. Like, she's not catching on. So Jesus says to her, Mary, and at the sound of her name, she turns toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. So Jesus begins this conversation with Mary Magdalene. He's trying to be relational with her and he's trying to meet her where she is in her pain and in her grief. Like, who are you looking for? But Mary was so overcome with the obstacle. She was so overcome with this problem in front of her, thinking that her Savior had been stolen. She actually didn't recognize him. But now you see, when he calls her name, she recognizes him. But just as Mary stood next to Jesus, but didn't recognize him, Jesus may be standing very close to you and you just don't even realize it. I mean, think about how many times you've gotten through a difficult situation in your life. How many times you had yet one more bill to pay, but it all worked out. A relationship issue that seemed to then mend itself. I'm telling you, that was Jesus standing next to you every single time, helping you to get through it. And so many times we just don't realize it's him. See, Jesus works not, he's not standing physically next to us, but he works through the power of the Holy Spirit on this earth. And he's with us all of the time. And it's not just our responsibility to recognize it, it's also our privilege to recognize the Lord is with me in this moment. So Mary, she doesn't get this conversation, so Jesus knows what will get it. He gets very personal with her and he calls her by name. And it's at the sound of her name that she recognized. I mean, think about this. If you know the story at all, Mary was possessed with demons. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary Magdalene. So she's completely bound by demonic power. And at one time as he ministered to her, he would have called out that name. And it was something about her name, her very specific name. It connected with her heart and she knew Jesus was there. His face wasn't bloodied anymore. The wounds were gone off of his back other than his side and his hands and most likely his feet. And she knew it was Jesus. You know, I remember being newer in ministry and I was down in Atlanta for a conference. And during one of the breaks, the breakout sessions, you could go to different areas. And there was this huge tent. It was just a prayer tent. And in that tent, there were like 8 different sections that you could communicate with God or worship him in different ways. So one of them, you would sit silently and take communion. Another one may have had soft music on that you could sing to. Another one, you were reading scripture. Well, I walked into this one section of it, and it was just the wall within the tent was lined with brown butcher paper, and there were Sharpie markers there. And in this this section, this station, you were told to do something very simple. Just ask the Lord, Father, what would you like to say to me? And then just rest. And as thoughts begin to come to your mind and your heart, take the Sharpie marker and write it in front of you. Now, I had never done that before, like written a letter to me, from him, for me. And I thought it was like a little bit weird at first. I'm just sitting there. And he began to have me write, and he had me write, "Kurt, my son, I am proud of you. I approve of you and accept you. There's nothing else you have to do to prove yourself to me." And in that moment, like, I'm in tears. I'm like, thank you, Lord, that this is a private booth. I'm not crying next to somebody else. But it was something, like, I'm already in ministry. I've been born again since like fourth grade. I've been following Jesus. But back in my early years of following Jesus, I always thought God was frustrated with me. It was like he loved me, but I wasn't sure he liked me. I don't know if any of you ever struggle with that. And it's like, man, I feel like God's mad at me again because I haven't done all the right things, or I'm not praying as much as I should, or whatever it was. So I would try to prove myself to God, and I would try to attain, approval and acceptance from him. And then I became a perfectionist somewhere in those early teen years, where it's like, if I would mess up one little bit, I'd be so hard on myself. Now, the Lord had freed me from a lot of that, but it was still in that moment, seeing my name, Kurt, my son, as if God was speaking directly to me. I could sense the presence of God so thick in that moment. And what he was reminding me is this: he's not just the God of all creation. He's not just the God of the cosmos. He's a personal God. He's a personal Jesus that is calling you by name. And I need you to get this. I need you to understand this. Is when Jesus went on to that cross, he wasn't just forgiving all of the sins of all of the world, because if you just look at it like that, then you're not going to make it personal. But if I could say my sins, Kurt Jenkins' sins were nailed to that cross, so that when he shed his blood and when those nails went in his hands and his feet and that spear went in, I know Kurt's sins were forgiven. And I know when he went into that tomb that Kurt Jenkins was crucified and buried with him. And when he came back to life, I know it's for eternal life for everybody that would receive him. But I know it's specific to me. And Jesus is saying that to you. You have to be able to grab hold of that and say, Jesus died for, and you better put your name in that space. Just like Jesus called out to Mary personally in that moment, he is calling out to us today. There's a scripture in John chapter 10 earlier in the book, verse 3, that's talking about Jesus being the shepherd. And it says that the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, who is the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. And I love this. It says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. See, there's a purpose that Jesus knows your name. He wants to lead you. He wants you to follow him because he knows he has your best interest in mind. He doesn't just brand us with a number. He doesn't just say, hey, you. He doesn't say, hey, bro, come over here. He actually knows our name. And he loves you enough to make it specific. Can you say amen to that? Let's take a look at the second appearance. Still in the morning, Mary Magdalene has this encounter with Jesus. She runs back. She talks to the disciples. Now it's evening time, and Jesus shows up. Verse 19, it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, this is Sunday night, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So Jesus appears to his disciples in resurrected form. And they could see his body, talk to him, and interact with him. Now, most believe that because Jesus is above the laws of nature, he walked on water and resurrected from the dead. A lot of theologians believe that he walked through the doors, a locked door. Like, it's like the ancient day keyless entry. He just walked right on in. We don't have absolute proof if he walked through a wall or through a door. It wouldn't surprise me if he did. Or if he knocked on the door and they knew his voice. They could tell it was their Savior and they let him in. I have to believe if he did knock on the door, John would have wrote, Jesus knocked on the door. The one who Jesus loved beat Peter to the door to unlock it. Just letting everybody know, I let him in. And then Jesus comes in. But we do know this. We know that they are afraid. We know that 3 days before their Savior was crucified, they are afraid of the Jewish religious leaders. They're afraid of the Romans now that they're going to come and attack them. They might be afraid that they're going to be crucified just like Jesus. And I love how Jesus didn't wait until the disciples proved their faith to him before he appeared. Like, he didn't avoid them and say, hey guys, I've already told you about this 3 days later, I'm gonna rise thing. So I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna make sure, you know, you have ultimate faith, that there's nothing going on, that you're not afraid of anything, you're in boldness, and then I'll appear. No, what he did, in their fear, he shows up. Through the locked door, he shows up. And I feel like this is a good reminder to know, like, no emotion, no thoughts, no barrier, no obstacle, no locked door. Nothing can stop Jesus from appearing before you to share his love with you. Like, there's nothing in all the earth that can stop Jesus. But he waits until you invite him. So you might still have obstacles up. You might still have roadblocks. You might still have issues. But the moment you say, Jesus, yes, come into my heart, he is truthful and faithful to do this. I was reminded this past week, for those of you who have been a part of Central for, 10 years plus, you would know of a guy that we called Brother James. James walked in several years ago to what we called a Hope Dinner. Hope Dinners were offered for once a month for those in our community who had a high need, and even for the homeless. James walked into that Hope Dinner that night being a heroin addict. Came from an extremely abusive background, was pushed, even pushed off of a very high area, like to his death, and yet survived. He faced, I heard his story, and I've never heard another story of of his to even know how he showed up that day. So he shows up, a heroin addict, can't read, horrible background. And he served a fine dinner to just honor them as being created with the potential to be in God's image. And there was a gospel message, probably 8 to 10 minutes long. Some of you are like, yeah, Kurt, why can't you get to this? 8 to 10 minutes, let's go. Short gospel message, 8 to 10 minutes long. And in that moment, Jesus busts through all addiction, all barriers, all obstacles, and James gives his life to Jesus that night at that Hope Dinner. But it doesn't stop there. James knew something has changed in my life. So he literally tells the story of how he gets up, goes into the bathroom that's down the hall from the fellowship hall, and flushes 4 dime bags of heroin down our toilets. I said in first service, I'm so happy to know that drugs have been flushed down the toilets of Central Assembly of God. Didn't clog the lines or anything. So James walks out of there born again, set free, does not use heroin again, has some struggles along the way. Why? Because we're all human, right? But he doesn't know how to read yet. So God teaches him how to read using the Bible. Like, not some basic stuff. I mean, he got right into the word, and the Lord taught this man, this born again Christian who's working out his salvation with the Lord, taught him how to read using the word of God. And I'll tell you, he went home to be with the Lord because of other health issues, but he would stand up here in the front and be the most exuberant worshiper and filled with joy and got part of Bible studies and discipled and so on. I'm just thinking, listen, if Jesus can appear to James and get through all of the junk in his life to the point where drugs are flushed, Jesus can get to you. Like, there's nothing you've done that is too far gone, too bad, too hard. There's no wall that's too high or too thick that Jesus will not break down to encounter your heart. He wants to make a personal appearance in your life. Let's go to the third appearance. This is with Thomas. For those of you who grew up in church, or maybe you know the story of Thomas, he's been given a nickname by the church, and his name is Doubting Thomas. I love how we name these guys like we wouldn't have done the same exact thing. So because of these verses right here, Thomas has been given this nickname because Thomas is like, listen, I'm not going to believe unless I see this thing. And we're like, oh my goodness, how could he not do this? Listen, Peter and John and Mary, Mary was with him. Mary was delivered by him. And Jesus is standing right next to him. And she's like, hi, Mr. Gardner. Right? So like there's process in identifying who Jesus is. I don't give Thomas any flack at all. I probably would have done the same thing. In verse 24, it says this, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So a week later, think about this, this is 7 days later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Again, we're not sure if that was supernaturally done or naturally. And he says, peace to you, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Now, Thomas, there's no evidence that Thomas asked. Do you remember the first time he showed up? This is what Jesus did. He proved himself to be the resurrected king. He showed the disciples without them asking his hands and his side. And now Thomas wasn't like, I've been waiting for you, Jesus. Jesus goes over to Thomas and shows him and says, put your fingers in the nail marks. Put your hand in my side. And then he gives him, I think, what is a grace-filled rebuke. He says, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas could have, you know, he could have ran away at that time and felt bad about things. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas says to him, proof that he does believe. He says, my Lord and my God. So I'm asking myself, where in the world was Thomas? Like the ladies come back, Peter and John come back, and they're talking about this. Like we saw Jesus, or the tomb's empty and so on. They have all day. So, you know, there's fear starting to set in. There's excitement. There's wondering. There's bewilderment. There's amazement. I'm just assuming, it's not written in scripture, I'm assuming that these individuals started getting hungry. And they're like, who's running out for some bread and lunch meat? So they do a little rock, paper, scissors. Thomas loses. So he's the one that has to go to the deli. All assumption, not scriptural. Thomas leaves. He has his bread, he has his deli meat, and he's walking back about 45 minutes later, and he walks in. They're like, you're never going to believe who came. He's like, the soldiers, the government? No, Jesus. And something in him was like, I missed out. I missed something. You know what? I think he got a little bit stubborn in that moment. He's like, well, I want to see him too, because what would they have said? He showed us his hands. He showed us his side. So I don't think Thomas was being so difficult. I think he was just like, I'm going to believe once I see the marks on his hands and the marks on his side. You know, maybe you're like Thomas, who feels like you are missing out on something the Lord is doing. I mean, this is real stuff. Like sometimes you just need to pay your bills and your finances are running short, and you're asking God, maybe you don't even believe in Jesus yet, and you're like, God, if you're out there, I need help. And your coworker gets this huge promotion and you don't, but yet somehow you still made it. Have you ever been in the situation where your one car needs new tires, your other car is not even working, and the guy across the street comes home with this nice F10, you know, shiny truck, pulling in, you're like, what is going on? Or maybe you have a physical ailment. You've been praying and seeking and asking the God of all the universe to heal you. And yet two or three people get healed around you. And you feel like you're missing out. I'm telling you today, if you just keep asking Jesus to reveal himself, you might not always see the results you want to in your own timing and your own way. But I believe that he will prove himself to be the resurrected king in your life. And I think once our focus gets off of our need and our problems, our focus goes on to him, then everything changes. Our perspective changes. We're like, wow, I get to be in personal relationship with Jesus. My finances are going to get figured out. I get to be in personal relationship with Jesus. He called me by my name. I think my relationship is going to get figured out. And I believe if we could just get our attention on the one who wants to appear before us, everything else is going to work out. I want you to see this. As Thomas's doubt did not stop Jesus from appearing and showing him the very thing he wanted to see. And you know what? Thomas was actually honest with the disciples. He says, I'm not going to believe until I see it. I think right now in today's world, with everything going on and news and international conflict and everything, now is not the time to hide your doubts from God. Now is not the time to play church. Now is not the time to sit before him and just say a little prayer so you feel good about yourself. Now is the time in all of your life is to get real with God, to say, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I know about you. This is where I'm confused. This is where I am in doubt. This is where I'm afraid. Would you come and appear in my heart? Would you show up? Would you prove yourself to me? And then don't look for the answer to your prayer. Look for him. Look for him. And I believe Jesus will be faithful to show up in your darkest moment or in your highest moment of celebration. Both, and Jesus wants to make an appearance. And your doubts are not going to stop him. In fact, your doubts show that you're in need of him. So be honest with the Lord. Be transparent, be vulnerable before him. Let's not play games with the Lord. Tell Jesus what you're looking for, and he'll prove himself to you. I believe if Thomas was here today, standing here, he would tell you, do not wait until you get the answer you are looking for. Wait until Jesus shows up, and the answer will be on the way. The last verse I want to read to you is verse 29, where it says this, then Jesus told him, this is Jesus talking to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, we don't have the privilege of seeing Jesus face to face. Like, that would be so cool if he showed up in church, like today, Easter Sunday, Jesus shows up. We don't have that privilege of seeing his body and his flesh, but we have this word. You have the fellowship of other believers. You have evidence that he has brought you through everything in your life before. And he's saying this. He's saying real faith is believing in your heart what you can't see with your eyes. So he's saying, Thomas, listen, you got to actually touch my wounds. Of course you're going to believe. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the child who has not seen me face to face and yet still believes. And that's the opportunity that is before us today. That Jesus is not standing right with us, but his Holy Spirit is with us. And we have the opportunity to believe. Why don't you stand at this time? I started off with a statement today, one thing that I would want you to take away, and it's this. Jesus desires to make a personal appearance in your life as you invite him into your heart. So the question would be is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Now, you might be in a situation right now, maybe you came because you were invited to, or maybe you came, you know, out of celebration for Easter morning, whatever it is. I think you would know in your heart if you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus as Lord. This is the really cool thing now. Remember, doubts can still exist. Jesus can get past that. A locked door can still exist. Jesus can get past that. Remember, John even said, we believe, but we still didn't understand the full thing about his resurrection. So Jesus isn't making sure you have everything figured out. He's making sure that you're just inviting him into your heart. It's one step that will change the course of your entire eternity. So that might be you today. You're like, I haven't made the decision before, and I haven't have it all figured out. I definitely don't have my life all figured out, but I want to take that first step in following Jesus. Some of you in this room may have made a decision a long time ago for Jesus. Maybe you raised your hand in a service. Maybe you even received prayer here. Maybe a friend led you to the Lord and it didn't feel like it stuck, if you know what I mean. Like, I know I made this decision. My life has just kind of gotten off path. Like, it's not headed toward the empty tomb right now. You have an opportunity to say, listen, God, you gave me breath in my lungs for another day. So I would like a fresh start with you. I would like a brand new start with Jesus. He's faithful to reappear right before you through the Holy Spirit. And you may be a believer here today. Like you're walking with Jesus, but you need Jesus to show up. Like you have an issue in your life, a problem, a situation, something. And you're just like, I need Jesus. I need to know he is right here. I believe he's a big enough God to handle all these things at one time without any confusion, but with all clarity in your heart. So what I'm gonna ask that you do if you're comfortable doing this is just to bow your head. It's not a shame thing by any means. It's just to close your eyes if you're willing to do that. And what you're doing is you're just closing yourself off so you're not thinking about what the person next to you or in front of you is doing. And if you're in one of those first two categories, I want you to begin to discern, to tell if something is welling up in your heart today and you're like, yeah, I wanna take that first step with Jesus or I wanna get right back on the path. I want you to think, if that is you today, I want you to imagine if Jesus actually did walk into the room and he was standing right before you. Would that give you a greater urgency to make that decision today? Would it give you a greater urgency to say, man, I just want to follow you once again, Jesus? Again, if you would make the decision, if he was right there, face to face, nose to nose, eyes to eyes with you, you can make that decision now and today because the Holy Spirit is here. So even in the quietness of this moment, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or if you want to just have a fresh start with him, I want you to raise your hand with confidence. I want you to look up at me with boldness. I want to have an opportunity to pray for you today. Anyone in this room that want to make that decision for the very first time, I see your hand, recommit yourself. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? In the quietness, just discern, is something happening in your heart today? First time or rededication. I see that hand in the back. Thank you so much. Yep, you can lower your hand. All right. I see your hand. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Again, we're not going to rush with plenty of time. Just are you sensing something welling up in your heart? I have to start following Jesus. I want to get on the right path. Maybe you haven't even raised your hand, but as we keep our head bowed, what we're going to do, I'm going to say a prayer. There's nothing magical about the prayer. It just kind of walks through admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus was raised from the dead, and confessing that he is your Lord and Savior. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you still want to say this prayer quietly at your own seat, in your head, whatever. We believe that public confession is the most powerful thing, though, to bring you in to the family of God the right way. So I'm going to ask those of you who are all already following Jesus, would you say this prayer with me? And those of you who raised your hands, I want you to repeat this to the best of your ability with me. And then we're going to celebrate with Jesus. So why don't you repeat this after me? God, today I admit that I've sinned against you and that I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he was raised to life so I could have eternal life. I now surrender my life to Jesus and I receive him into my heart. I now confess he is my Lord. I confess that he is my Savior. And I believe I am a child of God, born again spiritually into the eternal family of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's celebrate with those who raised their hands today. I thank you, Jesus, for those coming to you and for those coming back to you. Fresh start. This is what we're going to do to close service today. I'm going to ask if our altar team would come forward right at the end of service. They'll be here for just 2 or 3 minutes. And for those of you who raised your hand, whether it was your first decision, you're just coming back for a fresh start, or for any of you who need Jesus to show up in a situation, I don't want you to leave these doors without greater hope than when you first came in. It can be anything at all. These people that will be up front are trained. They're trusted by me and the pastors to be able to partner with you in prayer. So we want you to leave with overwhelming hope today. So Heavenly Father, we pray today, God. We thank you that we know that we serve a risen King. I thank you for each person who made the sacrifice of their time to come into this building or to watch online today. And Jesus, we know that you are not bound by a building, but your Spirit goes with us. But God, before anybody leaves here today, I pray that they would have that overwhelming hope that they are following the risen Jesus. Father, we pray even in the moments to come, those who walk forward to receive prayer, that breakthrough would be on the way, that they would know Jesus is showing up in my situation. So we thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys. Altar team, just make your way down and you can come forward for any reason for prayer. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe and go visit centralconnect.org for more information and media.